Heavenly Father, we love you and we honor you. It's our joy and privilege to be in your presence. Now speak to us and give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12. Paul is writing to the believers there after explaining God's extraordinary mercy on Gentile and Jew. He now calls us, in light of God's mercies, to offer ourselves, our whole lives, our very bodies as living sacrifices. And he begins to give practical counsel, verse 9 of Romans 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now look at this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. This is completely contrary to our human nature. And it's completely contrary to the spirit of the age, which wants to retaliate, which wants to carry unforgiveness, which wants to bring up things from the past to condemn you today. That spirit of retaliation is deadly. Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed by one another. It is a destructive spirit, and we overcome it by fighting with different weapons than the world fights with. We will not overcome cancel culture and the anger of the society and the politically correct strangulation that it brings. We will not overcome it by being angrier. I mean, it's shameful to say this, but during the 2020 elections, if you went to many of our social media pages, we were just as ugly as the world. We were just as nasty as the world, whatever side of things we were on. We got so caught up politically, and we should be involved, and we should be salt and light, but we got so caught up in the spirit of the age that many of us were better known for following a candidate than following Jesus. It's the truth. It happened. I remember right in the most fervent times when there were questions, was the election stolen, and people were angry, and there's temper swirling all over America. It was late at night. And Nancy was in one part of the house. I was in another part of the house. I didn't know where she was because I was not in our bedroom yet. I didn't know if she had gone to bed. And I sent her a text. I said, where are you? She was in this other part of the house. So I was upstairs. I went downstairs. She was sitting on the couch. And I had just been reading some posts from people that we knew for years. Some in ministry, some solid followers of Jesus. And it was the most carnal, ugly, divided. I said to her, these are our friends. And I just put my head in her lap, sobbing. What in the world has become of us? Jesus said that the world will know that we are his disciples, every color, every race, all backgrounds, Jew, Gentile, black, white, male, female, young, old. The world will know that we are his disciples by the love we have for each other. There was this old song, and kind of like a hippie anthem theme. Some will remember it, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. It's an older one. It's kind of a chant. And I wrote an article some months back called They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Hate, by Our Hate. It's the exact opposite of the way it's supposed to be. And our spirit should be, the more you hate me, the more I love you. The more you curse me, the more I bless you. Then he says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Yeah, you hurt me. Yeah, you wounded me. Yeah, you disappointed me. But I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to love you. Yeah, what you did was costly, but when you come asking for forgiveness, I'm going to put my arms around you and say, the way Jesus forgave me, I forgive you. And by the way, That's not an option. That's a command. Paul in Colossians 3, forgiving others as you were forgiven. I'm going to keep reading through, but I want to tell you a story. Some years ago, my wife Nancy, who had volunteered and worked many hours each week in our school for many years, had given all of her school-related responsibilities over, and for the first time in ages just had free time through the day. She didn't have other things that had to be done. Kids, of course, long out of the house. So God got hold of her, and she felt she had to break through and know God in a way she never had before. And she began to seek him in a way I've never seen anyone seek God in my life. All day, all night, in the Word, praying. And she printed up about 300 verses about the nature of God and his goodness and love. And every day would meditate on each of those verses. And every day it was like she was seeing them for the first time. She would read them like, whoa, this discovery of the Lord. The moment she'd read the Gospels, anything about Jesus, she'd be weeping and weeping and weeping. So in the midst of this time, she hears from an old friend of ours, a couple we were very close with. This was the wife. And there had been a falling out between us. And from our perspective, everyone has their perspective. From our perspective, they had really hurt us and wounded us. And the closer you are to someone, the harder it can be. And she had not seen this woman for a number of years. And she said, hey, I'm in your area. I'd like to see you. Now, the husband and I, we had met and tried to overcome our differences and be friends again. And we were, but from a distance. We weren't close the way we used to be. And when I told Nancy, she said, that's the way you need to leave it, just like that. It's fine. Don't get any closer. So the friend reaches out, and she says to the Lord, you know, I've forgiven her, but I have no interest in seeing her, renewing the relationship, to paraphrase. And the Lord said to her, is that the way I forgive you? I want to read a quote to you, and I'm going to come back to the story. I want to read a quote to you from an Australian singer and songwriter, Nick Cave, from what I know, not with Christian background. He said, as far as I can see, cancel culture is mercy's antithesis. It's the exact opposite of mercy. He said, political correctness has grown to become the unhappiest religion in the world. Its once honorable attempt to reimagine our society in a more equitable way now embodies all the worst aspects that religion has to offer and none of the beauty. Martin Luther King said this, here then is the Christian weapon against social evil. We are to go out with the spirit of forgiveness, heal the hurts, right the wrongs, and change society with forgiveness. We don't fight with fleshly weapons. The weapons we have are heavenly and spiritual, and they bring death to the flesh, but liberation to the spirit. I mean, death to our sinful flesh and liberation to the spirit. So the Lord speaks to Nancy, is that the way I forgave you? And he began to deal with her and show her what forgiveness really was. And she wrote out all the meaning of it and just prayed and just had this great desire to see this old friend. And the next day they get together, and I get a call from the husband. And he said, what did your wife do to my wife? She can't talk. She's just crying on the phone. The moment she saw Nancy, she started crying. They never brought up the past. Never said a word about it, but the love that God put in Nancy's heart and the spirit of Jesus that was in her was just so radiating, it did something beautiful and wonderful. And the friend on her part wanted to be friends again. This community and we as followers of Jesus must be known as a community of forgiveness and mercy and redemption. We must be known as a people that work with God to take what Satan meant for evil and turn it around for good. And the things that were meant to destroy you become the very things that become platforms and stepping stones for you to grow and be all God called you to do. And we're even seeing it now in the natural where people that the society tries to cancel, when they stand up and speak out, it becomes a platform to reach millions. When I came to the Lord, I was brand new, no Christian background, raised in a fairly nominal Jewish home. Now I get radically saved. I was not just a heavy drug user. I was a real rebel, and I was filled with anger. And there was just so much junk inside of me, just like many of you when you came to faith, or maybe that's where you are today, and God brought you here to find new life. And I used to boast about my sin. I believe it was John Bunyan who said, first we practice sin, then we defend it, then we boast about it. So I was at the point of boasting about my sin. I even stole money from my own father a few times, $50, $60 a year, to help out some friends, and I used to boast about it. And then people in this little church, I didn't know it, but they began to pray for me, and the Holy Spirit began to chase me down and convict me. I didn't know it was conviction. I just thought I need to use different drugs because I don't like these. It's keeping me up at night. I got to switch drugs. I didn't know, and I'd lay in bed, and it was like, if you ever had something that's under your skin and you can't get to it, and that's how I felt spiritually. It's like, what's going on? The very things I was boasting about yesterday, I'm feeling miserable about today. And what kind of son are you? And what have you done to your parents? And you lied to your friends and this and that. What a wretch. And the night that I got saved, the night that the love of God flooded my heart, and the joy of the Lord flooded my life. And for the first time, I understood this forgiveness from God and how Jesus had cleansed me. It was in response to that love. I said, Lord, I'll never put a needle in my arm again, because that's what he was putting his finger on and dealing with me about. And I remember right at that moment, looking for guilt. I thought, okay, well, where's the... Because I was riddled by it for weeks leading up to it by the Holy Spirit's conviction. And I thought, where's the guilt? I can't find it. And I thought, okay, you stole money from your father. No guilt. That's how Jesus forgives. He remembers our sins no more. And that's what we must extend to one another. And we must be the community of forgiveness. And listen, unforgiveness is deadly. Unforgiveness will paralyze you. You know, someone said that when you get into bitterness, you're digging two graves. One for the person you're bitter against and one for yourself. It's like having something toxic in your body and it's staying there and it's deadly. And the more it festers and the more, I can't forgive because they hurt me here. Sometimes it goes very deep. But it paralyzes and destroys. And God sent me here this morning to tell you it's time to let it go and forgive. I have to have justice. Sometimes you need to let it go. And if there needs to be justice, if there needs to be vindication, put it in the hands of God. Put it in the hands of God. You know, I read that that quote from Dr. King. And we're in a situation now in America where racial tension and racial division are deeper than they've been in many years. And normally we're talking past each other. Normally different groups, whether it's whites and blacks or Asians and Hispanics or Jews and Gentiles, we're often just talking past each other and not hearing one another's hearts. And because I do daily talk radio with live call-in, I would tell callers, listen, you have permission to offend me. I'm going to give you a hearing, but when we're done, if I feel I have something to say, well, you give me a hearing. But it starts with me listening. That's what I tell people. I said, you want to understand people, different culture, background, issues come up. Sit down and say, hey, please share your perspective with me because I want to understand. I don't want to argue. I don't want to debate. So I'm just going to talk straight here. We recognize today as Americans that through most of our history, until recent years, there was institutional racism, at least in parts of our country. So from slavery to the demeaning of the value of an African American, or they're the cursed race, or spiritually inferior, to segregation, to laws that were just built in to to give whites an advantage. This has been part of our culture. I don't experience white guilt. I love Jesus. I didn't do things to people in the past. I don't deal with that. But I recognize things. And I recognize that for many to this day, the playing field still not even. In other words, there are consequences. Even if we try to fix this, make this illegal, when you have generations, there can be still inequality. So I'm all for trying to understand issues. One of my African-American friends said to me, Mike, there's not a racist bone in your body, but there's a lot you don't know. Talk to me. Bring it on. Educate me where I need to be. And then we interact honestly. Here's where we're missing each other. So I'm all for addressing difficult issues and having difficult conversations. My most translated book is a book about anti-Semitism in church history. And Christians read it and they're shocked. I've had Christians online, when I've taught it in school, wait, especially European Christians, coming up in tears. Well, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. So there are these histories. They're uncomfortable. But hear me. The thing that Satan wants to use is unforgiveness. The thing that Satan wants to use is where we can't let go of the past, whatever that past may be. And when we carry that in us, and it's a tool of the enemy to destroy, that stops us from dealing with real issues. That stops us from confronting injustice. And it's the same in our interpersonal relationship. So many of us have not learned to forgive the way Jesus forgave us. We've not learned to extend the same mercy. Jesus says it's one of the few conditions of prayer that are this strong. That when you're praying, forgive others if you want God to forgive you. It doesn't mean for salvation. It means in your daily relationship with Him. If you want to be forgiven and be in harmony with God, forgive others. Otherwise, your Father won't forgive you. In Matthew 18, He gives the parable of a servant who owned, let's say, he owed his master $10 million and he could never pay it back. And in those days, you'd be thrown in a debtor's prison and you'd stay there until you could pay it off. You'd die there in many cases. And he begs his master for mercy, and the master says, I'm going to forgive you. And then he goes out and finds another servant. This guy loaned him some money. He owes him like 10 bucks. And he says, look, master, give me time. I'll pay you back. And that guy, who'd just been forgiven $10 million, says, no way, debtor's prison for you. And when the others hear about it, they tell the big master, and he says, throw that guy in with the tormentors. He'll never come out until he pays the very last debt. And Jesus said, that's how my Father will deal with you if you don't forgive from the heart. Some of you parents, kids, interpersonal relationships, going back years, painful divorce you suffered with, I'm not minimizing the pain, but you've got to forgive. Listen, friends. We're not the world. We don't play cancel culture in the church. We don't say, that's irredeemable. If someone comes with true repentance, we truly forgive. And I learned that in the church where I got saved. Shortly after I was saved, just acted like an idiot and a jerk and angry with people and threatening and all of this. And if, you know, God dealt with me and I humbled myself. And when I went to ask for forgiveness to these brothers that were older than me that I'd talked to and said ugly things to, when I went to, they just smiled at me and loved on me. They're like, hey, you're just a kid. You're messed up. And I thought, these people are different. Hit me early on. These people are different. Let me read a little more and tell you a stunning story. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Verse 17. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, dear friends. We don't do that. It's not in our nature. It's not in our DNA. We don't do that. But leave room for God's wrath. Let him judge who needs to be judged. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, quoting from Proverbs 25, says this already in the Old Testament, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. What? That's not what our social media looks like. You attack me, I'm coming back, both guns. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We overcome hatred with love. We overcome cursing with blessing. We overcome anger with patience. We overcome the power of the flesh with the power of the Spirit. That's who we are in Jesus. We're a different breed. And when the world sees that, they'll be attracted to that. They'll be attracted to mercy, redemption, kindness, love. So Richard Wurmbrand was a Romanian pastor, suffered under the Nazis and under the communists. He and his wife Sabina, Jewish Christians. His book, Tortured for Christ, was the most translated religious book of the 20th century. In fact, when I met with him in 93 and spent several hours with him and his wife Sabina, just extraordinary people like they're from another planet, I said to him, is it true that your book is the most translated book of the 20th century? He said, no, Agatha Christie novels are, but mine is the most translated religious book. Suffered 14 years over two imprisonments, horrific torture. I mean, when you sit with him, you see the holes in his neck and scars, just extraordinary suffering. 3 years in solitary confinement, not seeing another human being except his torturer, and such a grace on them. So he told me the story firsthand with Sabina right there in the same room. When the Nazis occupied Romania, Pastor Wurmbrand would go out and look for a lonely soldier, Nazi soldier away from family, in a bar. And he'd go in, he spoke multiple languages, he spoke German, and he said, listen, I'm a piano player. He's a trained pianist. He said, I'm a piano player. Why don't you come over to my house, and I'll play for you on one condition. I'm also a pastor. I preach the gospel to you. So they thought, yes, who's this funny guy? Sure, I needed a break, needed some company. So this night, Sabina was sick, so she couldn't wait on them and get them some stuff. She was sick in bed. But so he plays from this Nazi, begins to talk, and he begins to boast. Yeah, I gave the order to exterminate this village. Gave the order to exterminate this village. Yeah, I killed every Jew in this village. And Wurmbrand says to him, then you are the murderer of my wife's family, because we are Jews, and that was her village. You ordered the murder of her entire family. So he's smitten with conviction. Wurmbrand preaches the gospel to him, and with tears he gets born again. Pastor Wurmbrand says to him, we are now going to go and meet my wife Sabina, and I'm going to tell her, you are the man who ordered the execution of her entire family, but you are now our brother in Christ, and she will get out of bed and hug you and forgive you. So he was mortified. He couldn't do it. Finally, Pastor Wurmbrand convinces him to go in. He wakes up his wife, sick in bed, tells her this very story, and she gets out of bed and hugs him, and they cry together. Who can imagine that? But that's the mercy God had on you and me. And it's time, friends, for us to be known, not for hatred and rancor and division and unforgiveness and bitterness and strife and being just like the world. It's time for us to be known as a community that forgives, and a community that gives another chance, and a community that redeems, and a community that says, here's a fresh start. Let it be known that this church community and we as followers of Jesus love one another the way he loved us and overcome evil with good. And this is how we lambs will not be silenced by cancel culture, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.